He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Just for a few moments, saints, because we got more to do later, but only as long as the Holy Spirit allows, we want you to think about this thought for consideration. Streams of serenity. Streams of serenity. As I was pondering this word here and the signification of what it's saying, I was taken to something that was quite the opposite of what this represents. You're thinking about a time traveling, touring, another place. Me and Sister Henley, and we were out walking, and as time went on, didn't notice the change in the atmosphere and the climate. Clouds started to get dark, and before you know it, and probably one of the reasons because of we were at the, it was something that was somewhat of a normalcy for that part of that state. Before you knew it, we were going back to where we were staying, but we hadn't yet got there. And as the rain started to come, accompanying the rain was thunder. And you hear sometimes they use the expression when you hear the thunder, because you know when you have lightning and thunder, you have that sound and you have light. One goes faster than the other. Ain't that right? Sometimes you'll see one thing, but the other thing accompanies it sometime afterwards. Amen. So we were seeking, I was looking ahead to where we were staying, hoping we can get there. But then the thunder started coming and clapping, so to speak. This a figurative way of describing the noise. The rain I could have dealt with, because for me, rain has a serene effect. Amen. When it rains, I know it's not always provides a, after if it's done, you know, they call it a flash flooding. And amen, if you don't dry the rain up when it comes to your house or in your house, if you're not careful, you'll get mold. Amen. So rain has these things in which it can do that can be damaging. But also rain has a way. Rain is water. Amen. It's precipitation coming down. But I'll be sometimes laying at home and, you know, you can have it. So it doesn't mean necessarily all the time, but particularly at night. And when the rain comes, instead of closing the window, I'll open it up. Because I like to sleep when it's raining. I'm not talking about when it's drenching, but there's something about the calmness of the rain. As a matter of fact, there's some places or some entities where they even record the rain. Ain't that right? They have record the rain. They record nature on tapes and things, and people open and listen to them. Of course, that's good, but you just have to be careful to make sure ain't nothing there. Amen. Sometimes there's some subliminal thing. That means that subliminal means there's something that's put somewhere where you don't overtly notice it, but it's in there. And sometimes you'll be listening to something, and it's, as it's playing, you don't realize that something else is playing in it. Before you know, you start acting funny and crazy. Amen. Because you thought you was listening to something calming, but there was some noise in the record. But nonetheless, you know, there was a sense of serenity. Some of y'all heard that word, ain't that right? You know, in our society, you know, both in certain aspects of it, there are ways in which people try to bring calmness to your life. Amen. Some of them, you know, they have different words or sayings or cliches that you either speak out or speak to yourself to try to cause a method of calmness to come to your person. I deliberately did not say soul because they don't think, most of the time, society, almost all of it, they don't think of the soul the way we think of the soul. Amen. Amen. We are to some degree, even certain aspect of it, that we are just natural beings, however, without any measure of immaterialism to us. But we are body, soul, and spirit. And so, you know, sometimes, again, there's trying to seek to cause a method of calmness. Sometimes they'll say serenity now. You know, you call it out. And that's supposed to bring you some kind of psychological calmness. And amen, always don't work. Because as Reverend Israel was telling just a few moments ago, a little while ago, if you're mad at somebody, amen, they can say anything they want to say. Ain't that right? Emotions are not always stable. Amen. Ain't that right? Your emotions don't always listen to you. That's right. Your emotions don't always listen to you. You don't have a total control over that aspect of your person. But nonetheless, brothers and sisters, that is something. If you listen and look into our culture today, there's a lot of noise. And that noise is not just noise in the terms of a sound, but the noise speaks of trauma. Amen. Conflict, confusion. Aspects and the overriding of possibilities of war, that's all in, and that causes nervousness, that causes anxiety, it causes a hastiness in spirit. So we need, amen, brother, we need something, some way where you can go, amen, to get yourself under control. So I'm glad that I have a God who is a shepherd. And he knows he's around. He's always around because he's not just someone who has to get an office visit with, even though those times are necessary, but he's the Lord who is my shepherd. As a matter of fact, another way the psalm, each time I look in this, is always a different way in which he's referred to. The Lord is my shepherd, or the Lord is the one who shepherds me. Or the one of the Lord, he's the one who begins and who shepherds me. You understand what I'm saying? That it's different ways you say it. Just make sure you get it right and get him right. Because there's no one like him. But again, David, the psalm. And I didn't finish my scenario in which I was mentioning about this, what was happening, because the rain was coming, the thunder was coming, the lightning was coming. And I don't know about you, but I don't play with that. Amen. Certain places you should not be when there's thunder and lightning. They tell you that. So you, when you take cover, make sure you take cover under the umbrella of something that not brings a conduit of electricity and power that can do you wrong. But so I'm standing there. I'm not going to try to run because it's too far. So I backed up, both of us backed up underneath the cover of a building. But as I was there, I felt a sense of helplessness. Hey, are you with me, Ham? A sense of helplessness, because I couldn't do like some of those mythical characters who snatch thunder out of the, you know, this mythical guy. You know, I ain't even trying that. Amen. No. But I backed up and stood there, and in helplessness, just waited for the noise to stop. If I just cut it 5 minutes, and you know, if I could just 5 minutes, enough time to run. But as long as those things were going on, and all that was going, there was an uneasiness in my soul, because when it comes to these kinds of things, there's nothing that man can do to harness this type of power. There's nothing he can do. So I just waited till things calm down. Yes, I know some of y'all spiritual folks. Right now, and I see it right now, y'all saying, why didn't the pastor pray? Well, I was scared and praying. And too afraid not to pray. But I still stayed where I was at. But David, or the psalmist, he gives us to see the life of the sheep of God. And again, we mentioned to you that God does not take metaphors or illustrations of how he relates to his people, because most of the thing when God does this, it's a relational illustration. Not just an illustration, but it's a way in which he gives us a familiar way to, in a sense, to resonate with an infinite, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, everlasting God, who we cannot fully conceive
or comprehend totally, and yet God wants us to know that he walks with us. And he talks with us. I don't have to see him to know that he's there. Because he gave me a promise that if he is my shepherd. And so we like to walk through again this psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We mentioned last time the way in which how, I'll use the expression, how God handles us. Y'all don't hear me. How God handles us. He what? He's powerful, yet he's tender. Yes, sir. And when he says he maketh me, it does not mean he coerced me. He didn't tell me, go stand over there. No, he maketh me. It has a sense of causing me to lie down in green pastures. And the thing about it, he took us there. He takes you to a place where you can graze and be nourished. Somewhere that's good for your soul and not just for your body. And because he's a good shepherd. And amen. He doesn't have malicious intent in terms of what he does. And so the Lord, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. But there's also, brothers and sisters, there's also something that he does when the sheep, as the sheep come out of the fold. That's where they stay after the days has gone by. And when it's time to close it for the night. The fold is not just a physical closure, but the fold also speaks of the totality of the whole flock of sheep who's there. And let me just jump ahead a little bit too, because sometimes there are about four or five shepherds who keep their sheep in one enclosure of a fold. But even though he does that, the shepherd knows his sheep. All of them, watch it now, all of them might look alike, but to all of them, the voice is not alike. Y'all ain't get that. You can have five different flocks in one fold. Ain't that right? But the shepherd, when he speaks, each one of those sheep knows who is their shepherd. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so when it comes time for the shepherd to take the sheep out, amen, they can't stay enclosed. He takes them out, and he takes them out into a field, into a rural-like area, across a plain or up on a mountaintop, and he leads them. He knows the good places to graze. And not only do they need to eat, but also the Bible says that he leadeth me beside the still waters. Yes, are y'all following me? Notice what I said. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Notice the way he said it, geographically, the proximity of the sheep. He doesn't take you, amen, and push you in the water. No, he leadeth me beside the still water. And notice, this is still water. And when the word still, it does not mean it is standing still. It's talking about the way in which the water is. He said, he leadeth me beside still water. That means the water is not standing still. It's just flowing in such a manner as if it is still. See, because like life, you can think you're in a quiet place, but when the rushing comes in, and are you with me here? When the rushing comes in, when turbulence comes into your life, when something is an upsurge, when you're thinking, excuse the expression in a metaphoric sense, when you're thinking you're drinking the calmness of life, when it seems like everything's going fine, everything's going good, you know, you feel as though you can get up in the morning and you're going to have a smooth day, but all of a sudden there's an upsurge of conflict and confusion. A phone call will come in that'll take all your peace away. Amen. All of a sudden, quietness leaves out of the window and trouble comes in the door.